الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، from our own نسخة في مختصر الشيخ الألباني، the reading from the 17th hadith in the book. I'm sure it will be different a little bit from what we have in our own nusakh, because after the last hadith we read last class, there is a hadith there which we had read. I think it had come in hadith number 6, the weak hadith. It came after the one we read last week. If we look at our scripts, our book, Ash-Shamail, that's a hadith there that's weak. That hadith, we had read it before as a part of a very lengthy hadith, the 6th hadith. I'm sure we have seen that. So, we will be reading, inshallah, from the hadith that follows it, the hadith of Abu Zayd, Amr ibn Akhtab, radiyallahu anhu, al-Ansari. Sheikh al-Albani said, rahimahullah, after removing the asanid, he said, Abu Zayd, Amr ibn Akhtab al-Ansari, radiyallahu anhu, qala, قال لي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يا أبا زيد أدن مني فامسح ظهري فمسحت ظهره فوقعت أصابعي على الخاتم قلت وما الخاتم قال شعرات مجتمعات Abu Zaydin Amr ibn Akhtab al-Ansari qala li Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam ya Aba Zayd udnu minni famsah wahri famasahtu wahrahu fawaqa'at asabi'i ala al-khatam qultu wama al-khatam قال شعرات مجتمعات. That is the 19th hadith. Abu Zayd Amr ibn Akhtab is one of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who reported this hadith. The ulama al-imam al-hafiz al-mizzi, he established that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam one day said to this companion, Allahumma jammilhu, Oh Allah, beautify him. So he remained handsome until he died, even when he spent over 100 years. He said at age 100 he did not have one single strand of grey hair. Abu Zayd, Amr ibn Akhtab, radiallahu anhu. Some of the scholars also said that he was from amongst the companions who memorized the Quran and were very excellent in the science of recital. So he's the one who reported this hadith. Said, قال لي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said to me, يا أبا زيد, O Abu Zayd. This hadith was reported from him by his son, Abdullah ibn Abi Zayd. If you look at it, I'm sure in yours you will find that this hadith came from Abdullah ibn Abi Zayd. Is it? Abdullah ibn Abi Zayd reported this hadith from Amr ibn Akhtab, Abu Zayd. So he said the Prophet called him, Ya Aba Zayd, O Abu Zayd. Don't forget, we usually repeat it. The companions, radiallahu anhum, were used to having kunya. It is difficult to find a companion without a kunya. In fact, what you find is a companion who had a kunya that's known, whose name is not known, or who had a laqab, a nickname that's known, but the name is not also known. But it's difficult to find a companion who has a name and essence, but did not have a kunya. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam called him by his kunya. Said, Ya Aba Zaid, Udnu minni, Famsah Wahri. Udnu minni. That is, come close to me. Famsah Wahri. And then also that you can rub my back. The ulama said this is evidence that one Muslim could rub another place on the body of another Muslim as long as it is not a place of aura. So a brother can rub a brother's chest. Please help me rub here. Or help him rub it. Help me rub my back. Help him rub it. Help me rub my waist. Help me rub it. But help me rub my anything below the navel to the knee. It has to be because of darura of tadawi. That is darura of seeking cure. Perhaps the person is sick in that area, he has to touch it, he has to. Or the person has not made khitan, and the khitan has to be made, circumcision. He has to be circumcised. All these are permissible from the areas or from the times when a man could expose that area to another person. The Prophet warned so much about keeping our private region safe from the vision of people. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam told him to come close to rub his back. He said, فَمَسَحْتُ ظَهْرَهُ. So I rubbed the Prophet's back alayhi salatu wasalam. Some of the scholars said the Prophet told him to do that to gain barakah of rubbing his body. Some said he got itched. He said, come and rub my back. For many reasons they gave. Allahu alam. He said, فَمَسَحْتُ ظَهْرَهُ. The companion said, radiallahu anhu, so I rubbed his back. فَوَقْعَتْ أَصَابِعِي عَلَى الْخَاتَمِ. And then my hand, my fingers touched the khatam. You know, they are all aware that he has a khatam, but not all of them had seen the khatam. So at every opportunity, every nice opportunity any of them has, he wants to touch the khatam or see the khatam. Don't forget what Rumaysa radiallahu anha said in our own hadith. She said, لَوْ أَشَاءُ أَنْ أُقَبِّلَ الْخَاتَمَ الَّذِي بَيْنَ كَتْفَيْهِ مِنْ كُرْبِهِ لَفَعَلْتُ. He said, if I wanted to kiss it, I would have kissed it. She's a woman. So she's also looking forward to the khatam at the back of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it was a thing that was well known amongst them. So when Abu Zaid was rubbing his back, radiallahu anhu, he knew he had a khatam behind it. He was hoping that the hands will soon touch the area where the khatam is, radiallahu anhum. So when his hands touched it, he said, فَوَقَعَتْ أَصَابِعِي عَلَى الْخَاتَمِ. So I rubbed it so my fingers touched the khatam, the seal of messengership that's behind the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Qultu, this Qultu is the statement of Abdullah, his son, Ibn Abi Zayd. He's the one who is asking his father when he said, فَوَقَعَتْ أَصَابِعِي عَلَى الْخَاتَمِ. So my hands, my fingers touched the khatam. So he wanted to, how was it? So he said, وَمَا الْخَاتَمِ. How was the khatam? How was its size? What was it like when your hands touched it? He said, قَالَ شَعَرَاتٌ مُجْتَمِعَاتٌ. The khatam is sha'arat. I felt, my hands felt sha'arat, hairs that we are gathered. Of course, because the area is protruded, if you remember, it's like the egg of a goose or that of what? A pigeon. If you don't forget, in the last two ahadith or thereabout. So the khatam is like that size. So definitely that size behind him will be protruded. So whatever hairs grow around there, if it touches it, it will appear as if it's a, you know, an accretion of those hairs. They said, Sha'arat Mujtamiya. My hands touched hairs as if the hairs were gathered together. But because of the protrusion, the extension of the area, as we will see in other narrations in this hadith. So that was what Abu Zaid told his son. You could see, we're saying, don't forget, the first hadith the hadith of As-Sa'ib ibn Yazid. He said As-Sa'ib ibn Yazid was 7 years old when the Prophet died, alayhi salatu wasalam. Because he was 7 years old and he went to Hajjatul Wida with the Prophet. He was taken on Hajj. The Prophet died, alayhi salatu wasalam, in the Rabi'ul Awwal that followed that Hajj. Just about 7 years old. But he knew the Prophet hadith. He was watching too, was looking forward to it. And we took from that is evidence that the companions used to tell their children things like this. And you will see also that here in this case, even after the Prophet had died, alayhi salatu wasalam, people like Abu Zayd would tell this kind of a thing to his child. And the child will be asking, how was the hair of the Prophet Muhammad? So it means when we discuss with our children, we should discuss things of godliness with them, things of righteousness with them, and not issues of who scored a goal, who won a goal, who won an election, who was dethroned, and all of these that people get engrossed with their children today. I heard one brother once discussing and arguing, strong argument with his brother. Is it Arsenal? Is it Wimbledon that scored a goal? So they were arguing, subhanAllah, we need to talk about this and start arguing. Why not that your son is seeking a clarification about a hadith from you or about a verse of the Quran? You have to be arguing about Arsenal and all that. So this hadith, from its benefits, aside the fact that it points and describes the khatam of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, makes us understand also that the kind of things that the companions will tell to their children. And you see, as a result of that, the knowledge has come down and then reached us. If they were discussing other than that too, other than that would have reached us from them, radiallahu anhu. But here, the hadith is brought here because this bab is talking about what? Khatamun Nubuwa, the seal that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had behind him that indicates he's been a prophet and a messenger of Allah. I hope this hadith is clear, inshallah. The next hadith is the hadith of Buraidah. Buraidah, alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This hadith too is as the one we read previously. It's the hadith of a father narrating to his son. Buraidah yaqul. Buraidah said, because his son Abdullah ibn Buraidah said that Sami'tu Abi Buraidah yaqul. That is what you will see there. That Abdullah ibn Buraidah will say that qala Sami'tu Abi Buraidah yaqul. I heard my father, whose name is what? Buraidah. I heard him saying, he was explaining, he was saying that Ja'a Salman al-Farisi, read it down, inshallah. So Ja'a Salman al-Farisi ila Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallama hina qadim al-Madinah bima'idatin alayha rutabun fawada'aha bayna yaday Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallama faqala يا سلمان ما هذا فقال صدقة عليك وعلى أصحابك فقال ارفعها فإنا لا نأكل الصدقة قال فرفعها فجاء الغد بمثله فوضعه بين يدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فقال ما هذا يا سلمان فقال هدية لك فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لأصحابه ابسطوا ثم نظر إلى الخاتم على ظهر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فآمن به وكان لليهود فاشتراه رسول صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فاشتراه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم بكذا وكذا درهما على أن يغرس نخلا فيعمل سلمان فيه حتى تطعم فغرس رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم النخيل إلا نخلة واحدة غرسها عمر فحملت النخل من عامها ولم تحمل النخلة فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ما شأن هذه النخلة فقال عمر يا رسول الله أنا جرستها فنزعها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فغرسها فحملت من عامها this hadith, as lengthy as it appears or as it is a part of a more lengthy hadith, because in it says that Salman al-Farisi radiyallahu anhu came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam حين قدم المدينة بمائدة عليها رطب. That Salman al-Farisi radiyallahu anhu came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam after he just arrived Medina with a table of palm dates that are not dried. When they are not dried, they are referred to as what? Rutab. But when they are dried, they are referred to as tam. When they are dried, they are referred to as tam. But when they are wet, undried, fresh, they are referred to as what? Rutab. So he brought some to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَوَضَعَهَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ سَلَّمَ. So he placed it before the Prophet Muhammad. So the Prophet rejected it. This hadith itself is a part of a lengthy hadith that describes how Salman al-Farisi accepted Islam. Salman al-Farisi was one of the eminent companions of the Prophet, who suffered a lot before he met the Prophet Muhammad, before he knew who the Prophet was. That narration is very important because it has a lot of benefits in it. And many of the scholars have spoken a lot about it. In fact, that story of how he became a Muslim has been the basis for a lot of people amongst the scholars who said that Salman al-Farisi lived for about 350 years. Some said he lived for 250 years. Some said 150. We'll come back to that inshallah. But the fact remains that radiallahu anhu, he suffered a lot before he accepted Islam, before he met the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That story forms the basis of this book, At-Tahsil wal-Bayan fi Siyaki Kiffat al-Sayyid al-Salman. The whole of this book discusses the story of Salman al-Farisi with its various chains of transmission that the hadith has come with. It is written by Imam As-Sakawi rahimahullah, Abdul Rahman As-Sakawi, one of the students of the most prominent students of Al-Imam Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar. So he was asked about this narration. So he sat down in Makkah and made a research and compiled the various chains of narrations of the story of how Salman al-Farisi accepted Islam, which the end of which is our hadith we are reading here today. So it will be beneficial, inshallah, if we look at that hadith, that narration of Salman al-Farisi from the very beginning. It's a very lengthy work here. It covers between page 169 and 175. This riwayah of Abdullah ibn Abbas. It has been reported by many companions. As we said, all of this book is devoted to it. But like Al-Imam al-Sakhawi said, rahimahullah, he said, وَهَذِهِ الطَّرِيقِ مِنْ أَصَّحِ تُرْكِ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ. This is not this chain of reports that has brought this one, the report of Ibn Abbas, is from the most authentic from the chains of narrations that has reported this hadith. وَأَقْوَاهَا إِسْنَادًا. And the most strong of it in terms of its chain of narrations. وَأَحْسَنِهَا اِخْتِصَافًا. And the best of it in the way it has narrated the story itself. So we like to pick from that report, inshallah. Salman al-Farisi said, radiallahu anhu, because the hadith is from Ibn Abbas. So Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, said, حَدَّثَنِي سَلْمَانُ حَدِيثَهُ. So Salman al-Farisi told me his story. And he said, فَقَالَ. So he started narrating the story that Salman said, radiallahu anhu, كُنْتُ رَجُلًا فَارِسِيًا. I'm a man from Persia, مِنْ أَهْلِ أَصْبَحَانِ, from the people of Asbahan. Asbahan today is a city in Iran. And if you remember, it also has mention in the story of Dajjal. From amongst those who will follow Dajjal are some of the soldiers, some of the Jews from Asbahan. So this city, Asbahan, is the original place around it. Those who have written on Buldan have said that Asbahan itself is made up of two cities, two major cities, one of which is the town from which Salman al-Farisi has come. And that's what he said, that min qariyatin minha yuqalu laha Jay. The town from which I have come in Asbahan, its name is Jay. They say again that this Jay is the same city called Shahristan. We remember Imam Ahmad al-Shahristani. He has a book called Al-Milalu wal-Mihal, where he describes the sects that has gone astray. It's from this city called Shahristan. So Shahristan is in Iran. He said, وَكَانَ أَبِي دِهِقَانُ قَرِيَتِهِ. So my father was دِهِقَانَ قَرِيَتِهِ, was the leader of his people. وَكُنْتُ أَحَبَّ خَلْكِ اللَّهِ إِلَيْهِ. And I was the most beloved of Allah's creatures to my father. فَلَمْ يَزَلْ بِهِ حُبُّهُ إِيَّايَ حَتَّى حَبَسَنِي فِي بَيْتِهِ كَمَا تُحْبَسُ الْجَارِيَةِ. I was so beloved to him, so much that he made me stay in the house. كَمَا تُحْبَسُ الْجَارِيَةِ. As a young virgin girl is made to stay in the house. Ah, this is evidence that young virgin girls don't move all around the streets. They stay in their houses. They stay in the house. This is the culture of Islam. So he likened it to something that they will understand. My father does not allow me to go out the way young girls are not allowed to go out. He says, فَاجْتَهَدْتُ فِي الْمَجُوسِيَّةِ حَتَّى كُنْتُ قَاطِنَ النَّهَرِ. So I was making great efforts in Majusiya, in the religion of fire worshipping. We call it Magians, but if you go and check the dictionary, you will not find Magian there. Magian, M-A-G-I-A-N. This is what I grew up to know fire worshippers as. They say Magians. But it's not found. These days I've been searching for the word, so I translate it as fire worshippers. So he said he struggled in this their religion, but perhaps that religion is still Zoroastrianism, because it is in Zoroastrianism that the fire is worshipped. You know, they believe in two gods, the god of light and that of darkness, Agrameyu and Ahura Mazda. Ahura Mazda is referred to as the god of darkness. In Zoroastrianism, they believe that one day these two gods will fight, and the god of light, Agrameyu, will overrun the god of darkness. So that's why they worship the fire, Majus. So he said, I made great efforts, and I was very versed in the religion. He said, to the extent that I was in-depth in it, and I became Qatin al-Nar. I became the one who took care of the fire that was worshipped. They are fire worshippers. That fire that was worshipped, I was the one taking care of it. Ukiduha la atrukuha takhdu sa'atan wahida. I made it burn. I never left it for any moment. Very lengthy hadith. So this was the beginning of Salman al-Farisi. So his father had a very large land. We go ahead. A very large land where he had perhaps an estate. So he told Salman one day, radiallahu anhu, to go and take care of some of the things in that land. Is that so? But he told him not to stay long. So Salman al-Farisi went. So as he went, on the way he stayed long because he saw some Christians. He said, فَمَرَرْتُ بِكَنِيسَةِ مِنْ كَنَائِسِ النَّصَارَى. So I passed by one of the churches of the Christians. فَسَمِعْتُ أَصْوَاتَهُمْ فِيهَا وَهُمْ يُصَلُّونَ. I heard their voices while they were praying, you know, supplicating, shouting. So he wondered, what kind of people are these? You know, he was not used to going out. So the first, yes, there were churches in Asbahan at the time, but he was not used to going out. So he was wondering, what kind of people are these? He says, فَلَمَّا سَمِيتُ أَصْوَاتَهُمْ دَخَلْتُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنْظُرُ مَا يَصْنَعُونَ. So I entered. Let me see what they are doing. He entered. فَلَمَّا رَأَيْتُهُمْ أَعْجَبَتْنِي صَلَاتُهُمْ. The way they were praying, it geared me up. It interested me. Ha, these people. He says, وَرَجِبْتُ فِي أَمْرِهِمْ. So I became interested in their affairs, in their religion. وَقُلْتُ وَاللَّهِ هَذَا خَيْرٌ مِنَ الدِّينِ الَّذِي نَحْنُ عَلَيْهِ. By Allah, this one is better than the religion that we are doing. فَمَا بَرِحْتُ مِنْ عِنْدِهِمْ حَتَّى غَرُبَتِ الشَّمْسِ. I never left them until it was sunset. So he was not able to go to where his father sent him. When it was sunset, he returned to the house. So he asked the people, مَنْ أَبْصَرُ بِهَذَا الدِّينِ. Who is the most learned in this your religion? قَالُوا رَجُلٌ بِالشَّامِ. So there is a man. Our leader is one man, is in Sham. Sham is the large area containing about four or five countries today. The Syria, the Jordan, Palestine, and the area called Israel today, together with Lebanon. That is Sham. So the man is there. So he went back to his father and narrated what had happened to his father. So his father said, "Oh my son, laysa fi dhalika ad-din khairun. That religion you have seen, there is no good in it. Dinuka dinu abaika khairun minhu. Your father, your deen, your religion, fire worshipping, and that which was the deen of your father is better than it." He said, "Summa habasani fi baiti." So his father made him not to go out again. In some riwayah, in that of Imam al-Zahabi, the same riwayah of Ibn Abbas, he mentioned that the father tied his leg and chained him so that he could not go out of the house. Radiallahu anhu. So, but he sent a message to those Christians that anytime you have people from Sham who are returning to Sham, let me know. So when he was told that, look, some people had come from Sham, they had finished their business transaction in Asbahan, they are returning to Sham, they told him. He said, "So I broke the chains that with which my father tied me, and I went to them, and I traveled with them to Sham." That was how Salman al-Farisi left Asbahan. Asbahan is in Iran, and he traveled with them on his foot, or on his feet, to Sham. So when he got to Sham, he said, "Falamma qadimtuha qultu." So when I got to the city, Sham, I said to them, "Man afdalu ahli hadha ad-din ilman." Who is the best of you in knowledge in this religion? You see, he is asking for alamun nas. This is making you understand that he was a very intelligent person for whom Allah wanted guidance. "Man yuridillahu bihi khairan kifakihi fa huwa yuridu al-faqih." So he was asking for a faqih. He was not asking who is the most pious, because there cannot be piety without knowledge. "Innama yakhsha Allahu min ibadihi al-ulama." So he was asking, where is the knowledgeable people here? So Salman al-Farisi was asking, "Qalu al-asqufu fil kanisa." Oh, we have the bishop in the church. So he was directed to that bishop. So when Salman al-Farisi got to this first bishop, he said to him that, "Inni qad ragibtu fi hadha ad-din wal ilmi ma'aka wa usalli ma'aka. I have great interest in this your religion. So I like to study with you. Wa usalli ma'aka, and join you in your prayers." So he allowed the man to come in. He said, "Wa kana rajula su'in." Salman al-Farisi found out later from his close dealings with him that the man was an evil person. "Ya'muru bis-sadaqati wa yuraggibuhum fiha." He was encouraging his people, ordering them and encouraging them towards giving sadaqah. "Fa'idha jama'u lahu shay'an minha iktanazahu li nafsihi." When anything is gathered for them as sadaqah, gift for the people, the poor, iktanazahu li nafsihi, he kept it for himself alone. "فَلَمْ يُؤْتَ إِنسَانًا مِنْهَا شَيْئًا." So he did not give anybody anything from it. "حَتَّى جَمَعَ كِلَالًا مِنْ زَهَدٍ وَوَرِقٍ." Until he gathered about 7 jars, kilal. One kilal is 7 jars of gold and silver. He gathered it. "فَأَبْغَضْتُهُ بُغْضًا شَدِيدًا لِمَا رَأَيْتُهُ يَفْنَعُ." So I hated him very strongly because of what I saw that he was doing. So that man died. The bishop soon became old, and then he died. When he died, his people came to bury him. So Salman al-Farisi, "Oh, this man, you think that is a pious person. He's not a pious person. He's a bad person. He used to encourage you to give sadaqah. When you give the sadaqah, he did not distribute it to the poor people. He ate it up himself." So he said to them, they said to him, "How did you know that?" He said, "Oh, let me come and show you. All those gold and silver I was collecting for you, let me show you where he kept it." He says, "فَدَلَلْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ." So I showed them the place. "فَاسْتَخْرَجُوا ذَهَبًا وَوَارِقًا." So they went and they excavated the gold, the treasure that the man had kept there. "فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهَا." When they saw it, "قَالُوا وَاللَّهِ لَا نَدْفَنُهُ أَبَدًا." So this man, we won't bury him. "فَصَلَبُوهُ ثُمَّ رَجَمُوهُ بِالْحِجَارَةِ." So they crucified him and stoned him. He was already dead. They put him, nailed him on the tree perhaps, and then they stoned him. He was already dead, to show their disgust for him. So that was how that one cheated them. So they placed another person, they made another person to become the bishop. Salman said, radiallahu anhu, this second person, ma ra'aytu rajulan yusalli al-khamsa afdal, ma ra'aytu rajulan la yusalli al-khamsa afdal minhu. I did not see any man that is not a Muslim that is better than this man. This man, this new bishop, I've not seen any non-Muslim that is better than him in terms of his zuhud, in terms of his looking forward to the day of Qiyamah, in terms of his praying greatly day and night, and others. He says, فَأَحْبَبْتُهُ حُبًّا لَمْ أُحِبَّهُ شَيْئًا قَطْ. So I loved him so much, such that I have never loved anything like that. So he was with him for a very long time, until when the time of death came to this second bishop in Sham, he asked him, he said, فَقُلْتُ لَهُ يَا فُلَانَ إِنِّي قَدْ كُنْتُ مَعَكَ فَأَحْبَبْتُكَ حُبًّا لَمْ أُحِبَّهُ شَيْئًا قَطْ. Now your time had always been with you, and I have always ever loved you more than I loved any other thing. وَقَدْ حَضَرَكَ مَا تَرَى مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And what you know from the affairs, the decisions of Allah have come upon you now. فَإِلَى مَنْ تُوْفِينِ بِي وَمَا تَعْمُرُنِ. Who will you encourage me to go to? And what do you encourage me to do? So the man said to him, Wallahi, ma alamu ahadan ala ma kuntu alayhi. I don't know anybody who is like I am. Laqad halaka an-nas wa baddalu. People have been destroyed. They have changed the religion. That's what Allah said about them. Yuharrifuna likalima amma wadihi. Wa nasu hazzan mimma zukkirudi. That's how they are. They changed some of them. They forgot some of them. The little they knew, they did not act upon it. So the man was telling Salman al-Farisi. That's why Allah says, لَتَجِدَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسُ عَدَاوَةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الْيَهُودُ وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا وَلَتَجِدَنَّ أَقْرَبَهُم مَّوَدَّةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّا نَصَارَى ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ مِنْهُمْ قِسِّيسِينَ وَرُهْبَانًا وَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. These are the kind of people Allah referred to. قِسِّيسِينَ وَرُهْبَانًا, people who told the people what had happened in the past, and they were filled with worship. وَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. When they see the truth, they do not deny it. That's why he added and said, وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا مَا أُنْزِلَ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ تَرَى أَعْيُنَهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ مِمَّا عَرَفُوا مِنَ الْحَقِّ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا آمَنَّا فَاكْتُبْنَا مَعَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. So that's why he was telling Salman this kind of a truth. People have changed the religion. I don't know anybody like me. So the man directed him and said to him that, he said, وَقَدْ لَقَدْ هَلَكَ النَّاسُ وَبَدَّلُوا وَتَرَكُوا كَثِيرًا مِمَّا كَانُوا عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا رَجُلًا بِالْمَوْسِلِ. The person that I know is in a city called Mosul. Mosul today is in present-day Turkey. So he was in Sham, Syria. Now he has to move to Mosul. He started the journey from where? Iran. From Iran to Syria. From Syria now to Turkey. He was looking for the truth. I do not know whether people have left Kaduna for Kano because they want to establish a particular truth about a pastor. He says, وَهُوَ فُلَانٌ وَهُوَ عَلَى مَا كُنْتُ عَلَيْهِ فَالْحَقْ بِهِ. He is a so-and-so person, and he is upon what I am upon. So go and meet him. So Salman al-Farisi said, when this man died and he was buried, so I left, I took off for the place. So I was with him, and I stayed with him for a long time. When this man, the one in Mosul, in Turkey, also wanted to die, he went to him again, that, tell me, what will I do now? To whom will I go to? To whom will I go? Now you want to die, where will I go to? So the man also told him, مَا أَعْلَمُ بَكِيَ أَحَدٌ أَعْمُرُكَ أَن تَأْتِيَهُ إِلَّا رَجُلًا بِعَمُورِيَّ. I don't know anybody I can say you should go to. But they have people who listen to them in their churches. They had people who were going to take over from them. See, they can't say, stay here. The one who will take over, inshallah, will guide you. They say, I don't know anybody who is upon what they are upon. So go to Soso. So he sent him to Amuria. So the man left, radiallahu anhu, Salman al-Farisi, to Amuria. So he left, radiallahu anhu. When that man became buried, he met the new person in Amuria and told him how his journey had been.
So he stayed with him. He said, فَأَقَمْتُ إِنْدَ خَيْرِ رَجُلٍ عَلَىٰ هَدِي أَصْحَابِهِ وَأَمْرِهِمْ وَاكْتَصَبْتُ حَتَّى كَانَتْ عِنْدِي بُقَيْرَاتِ وَغُنَيْمَةِ. He said, so I stayed with the man who was considered as the most pious amongst them, and I was with him for a long time, such that I had a small camel and a small goat that he tended. So at the time, this man wanted to die also. The one in Amoria, he asked him the same question. To who next will I go to? This one now said to him, that wallahi ma a'lamu asbaha ala misli ma nahnu alayhi ahadun minan nas amuruka an ta'tiyahu. By Allah, I do not know anyone that is still upon what we were upon from amongst the people that I can tell you to go to. Walakin qad azallaka zamanu nabiyyin. But the time of a particular prophet has come and you are witness to it. Huwa mab'uthun bidin Ibrahim alayhi salam. He has been raised with the religion of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. Yakhruju bi ardi al-Arab. He is going to come from the land of the Arabs. Ila ardin. That is, he will leave the land, he will make hijrah from the land of the Arabs. Ila ardin, to another land. Azunnuhu qala zati nakhlin. I think he said, in that land, there are a lot of palm trees. You know, Medina is known for that, for its palm trees, up till today. Some of the people, when they go, they don't have opportunity to visit such places. But if you go, please try to do it. Go around Medina and see. You see palm trees everywhere of dates, date palm trees. It's known for it. You see huge farms of date palm trees. So in that city, that man will come there. Lahu alamatun la takfa. He has some symbols that are not hidden. Ya'kulu al-hadiya. He will eat hadiya, a gift. Wala ya'kulu sadaqa. But this man will not take sadaqa. He will not eat sadaqa, charity from people. Bayna katfayhi khatamun nubuwah. This man has in between his shoulders a khatam. He had not seen the Prophet Muhammad, but he was already telling him how he will be and what Salman will find with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Bayna katfayhi khatamun nubuwah." Between his two shoulders is the seal of messengership. Fa'in istata'ta li tilka al-bilad faf'al. If you're able to go to that land, please do so. Go. He says, "Summa mata wa guyiba." The man died and he was buried. Famakastu masha Allahu an amkut. So I was there waiting. How am I going to get to a city, the city of the Arabs, where there are a lot of palm trees? Look at the symbols he was given. The city of the Arabs, where there are a lot of palm trees. The man will not take sadaqah. He will only take hadiah. And he has a symbol behind him, the khatam. This is what he is looking for from all over the world now. He's not going to borrow from the net to goggle it. He's going to have to look for it. Min makanin ba'id. From a very far place. He said, okay. He started waiting for when the opportunity will come. He said, summa marra bi nafarun min kalbin tujarun. Some people came from Banu Kalb. They are from the Arab tribes. They are traders. So they passed by us. فَقُلْتُ لَهُمْ تَحْمِلُونِي إِلَىٰ أَرْضِ الْعَرَبِ. Will you take me to the Arab land, to the land of the Arabs? وَأَتَيْكُمْ بُقَيْرَاتِ وَغُنَيْمَةِ هَذِهِ. So that I can give you my little camel and my little goat. Take me there and then I give you the price for your taking me there. These are the only things that he had. But he was ready to present them so that he gets guidance. So he gave them. Qalu na'am. They say yes. He says, fa'ataytuhum wa hamaluni ma'ahum. So I gave it to them and they took me along with them. He said, hatta idha qadimu wadi al-qura. When we got to Wadi al-Qura, Wadi al-Qura is a huge valley between Sham and Medina. It is called Wadi al-Qura, the valley of many towns, because there are a lot of towns around the valley. That valley is not talking about a small valley that we can just look at between two mountains. I'm thinking that this valley is of a geological size. I mean wide range, large size, valley, that could spread around or along continents, because it is described as between Sham and Jazirat al-Arabiya. So you could see that that valley would be something very large, and then the lowland around there. So when we got there to one of the towns in that valley, Zalamuni, they were unfair to me. Faba'uni min rajulin yahudiyin. I was traveling with them as a free man, but they took me for a slave and sold me to a Jew. It says, Fakuntu indahu. So I was with him. Fara'aytu nakhla. In that city where that Jew took me to, I saw palm trees. Farajawtu al-balad alladhi wasafa li ya sahibi. So I thought, perhaps this is the land that I was told to come. Walam yahiqqa fi nafsi. But I wasn't sure in my mind. Fabayna ana indahu. While I was with this Jew, now as a slave, qadima alayna ibn ammin lahu min bani Qurayza. One of his uncles came from Medina. You remember we told us about Banu Qurayza. Banu Qurayza lived in the southern part of Medina before they were expelled by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we remember what happened to them from the kiss of who? Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. He ordered that they be killed and all their males were killed. So before that time, before the kiss of Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, one of them came to visit his brother where in the place where Salman was. Radiallahu anhu. He said, "Fabta'ani minhu." So that one bought me from that his nephew. Fahamalani ila al-Madina. So the new Jew from Banu Qurayza who bought me from the first Jew was the one who took me to Medina. Allazina jahadu fina lanahdiyannahum subula. If you struggle on the path of Allah, I will show you the way. Inna Allah la ma'al muslim. Allah does not make effort, waste the efforts of people who do good. So he was moving round. So the one who will buy him as a slave, liyajziyallahu amran kana maqula, was the one who will actually take him to that Medina where he was going. And if Allah had written something for you, it will never miss you. He was to go to them to Medina, but they sold him. So his journey changed, but it was changing to the place where they were holding him by the hands and taking him into Medina itself. So when they got to Medina, he said, فَوَاللَّهِ مَا هُوَ إِلَّا أَنْ رَأَيْتُهَا عَرَفْتُهَا بِصِفَةِ صَائِبِ. When I got, I said, yes, by what had been told to me by the man, this is the city, فَأَقَمْتُ بِهَا. So I was staying in it. Don't forget, as what? As a slave. فَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ رَسُولَهُ. Then Allah raised the Prophet. This would mean that he had been in Medina before the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام was raised. He says, فَأَقَوْمَ بِمَكَّةَ مَا أَقَوْمَ. He stayed in Makkah for as long as Allah ordered that he stayed. مَا أَسْمَعُ لَهُ بِذِكْرٍ. I didn't hear about him. مَا مَا أَنَا فِيهِ مِنْ شُغْلِ الرِّقِّ. Despite the fact that I was busy with the works of being a slave. So busy. So I didn't hear about any prophet. ثُمَّ هَاجَرَ إِلَى مَدِينَ. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made hijrah to Medina. He says, فَوَاللَّهِ إِنِّي لَفِي رَأْسِ عَضْكٍ لِسَيِّدِي. I was on top of a palm tree, a date palm tree, you know, perhaps doing some work for my a'malu fihi ba'd al-amal. I was doing some work for my master. Wa sayyidi jalisun tahti. Well, my master was sitting below it, below the tree. Iz aqbala ibn ammin lahu hatta waqafa alayhi. So one of his uncles came and sat near him, stood by him. وَقَالَ قَاتَلَ اللَّهُ بَنِي قَيْلَ. May Allah destroy Banu Qayla. Banu Qayla are the people of Medina amongst the Arabs. The Jew is saying that to another Jew. Why Salman al-Farisi was on top of the tree. He said, وَاللَّهِ إِنَّهُمْ لَمُجْتَمِعُونَ عَلَى رَجْلٍ قَدِمَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ مَكَّةَ الْيَوْمِ يَزْعُمُونَ أَنَّهُ نَبِيٌّ. Those people, they have gathered in Quba now in some reports. They have gathered in Quba now with a man from amongst the Arabs who is claiming that he's a prophet. A person who's been traveling all around the world heard that. He said, فَلَمَّا سَمِيتُ هَا. So when I heard that, أَخَذَنِي الْفَرْحُ. I was engrossed in joy. حَتَّى ظَنَنْتُ أَنِّي سَأَسْكُتُ عَلَى سَيِّدِي. Until I was thinking that I would fall on top my leader, on top the person who owned me as a slave. He says, وَنَزَلْتُ عَلَى عَنِ النَّقْلَ. So I came down from the tree. وَجَعَلْتُ أَكُولُ لِبْنِ عَنِهِ ذَلِكِ. That is, so I came down. So that's his uncle that came to talk to him I was talking to Maza Takut. What are you saying, sir? Maza Takut. They forgot it, but Sayyidi, Falafamani Lakmatan Shadida. So my sister said, he got annoyed and he slapped me. You're asking for what? Jew. Ashadan Nas Adawatan Lilazina Am. Al Yahud. He even put them forward before Mushrikun. Jews. Huh? He wants to follow Muhammad. Slap Salman. You're asking about radiallahu anhu. So he was patient. And wajaza'un bima sabaru jannatan wa hal. So that was what happened to Salman al-Farisi. And he said to him, Malaka walihada. So what do you want from that man? He says, Akbil ikbil ala amalika. Go back to your work. Kultu, I said, La shay. I didn't say anything. Innama aratu an astathbita amma qala. I only wanted to affirm that. Please. Oh God, that thing you were saying, can you please make a rewind? I want to establish the treaty of what he had said. So this was how the story became that Salman al-Farisi got aware that the Prophet had arrived. He saw Medina. He was not only seeing the date palm trees, he was also walking on the date palm trees. And now he had heard that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, is in the Medina that he is. So the next slide is, how do I see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, وَقَدْ كَانَ إِنْدِي شَيْءٌ قَدْ جَمَعْتُهُ. I had heard something. He says, فَلَمَّا أَمْسَيْتُ أَخَفْتُهُ ثُمَّ ذَهَبْتُ إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَهُوَ بِكُبَاهَا. He mentioned Quba. He said, so I gathered those things I had heard. The Prophet was then at Quba. So I went there. فَدَخَلْتُ عَلَيْهِ. I entered upon him. فَقُلْتُ. I said, إِنَّهُ قَدْ بَلَغَنِي أَنَّكَ رَجُلٌ صَالِحٌ. I have gotten information that you are a pious man. وَمَعَكَ أَصْحَابٌ لَكَ غُرَبَا ذُو حَاجَةٍ. And I know that you had people who are Guraba. They came from different places, and they were what? Zuhaja. They are people who had needs. Many of them didn't have anything. Those who had things during Hijrah, they dropped what they had, like Suhaib al-Rumi. He came all the way. He made his money in Makkah. But during Hijrah, he had to choose between what he had made in Makkah and between going to the Prophet Salah. And they were just coming into Makkah, into Medina. So I have some things. And I heard, you know, you have some people. Wada shay'un kana indi sadaqa. What I had heard, let me give it to you as sadaqa. For ra'aytukum ahaqqa bihi min ghayrikum. I see that you are the best of people that I should give, apart from other than you. He says, faqarrabtuhu ilayk. So I pushed it nearer to him. Faqala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam li ashabihi. So the Prophet said to his people, kulu, eat. Wa amsaka huwa falam ya'kul minhu. So the Prophet held on. He did not eat from it. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Fakultu fi nafsi hadhihi wahida. So I said in my mind, this is number one. Thumma saraftu anhu. So I left the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Fajama'tu shay'an. I gathered some other things again. Don't forget, he was still a slave. Radiyallahu anhu. Fatahawwala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam ila Madina. So he left Makkah and he left Quba and came into Medina. Now Quba, if you stand in the Masjid of the Prophet, you'll be looking at the dome of the Masjid Quba. The Masjid al-Qiblatain. La Masjid al-Quba. If you stand around, and it's not far away from Al-Jamiat al-Islamiyah. It's very close now. And you know, that was where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had the first dinner with Aisha radiallahu anha in the month of Shawwat. So said it was in Quba. And some of the companions still retained their houses because they had houses. And that was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam coming to Quba was also in Rabiul Awwal. And the first Salatul Jummah was said also in Quba. And he used alayhi salatu wasalam on weekdays, according to the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam used to go to Quba once a week. If he went, he would make two rakats of nafil. And he said, the one who does that has the reward of Umrah, which the Prophet said. So the Prophet did not eat it. And then he came to Medina. He said, summa ji'tuhu bihi. Those things I had gathered, I brought another thing, some other things to him in Medina. فَقُلْتُ لَهُ رَأَيْتُكَ لَا تَعْقُلُ الصَّدَقَةِ. I saw that you are not eating charity. وَهَذِهِ حَدِيَّةٌ أَكْرَمْتُكَ بِهَا. This is a gift. I am honoring you with it. فَأَكَلَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مِنْهَا وَأَمَرَ أَصْحَابَهُ فَأَكَلُوا. So the Prophet ate from it, and he ordered the companions, his companions, and they also did what? He said, فَقُلْتُ فِي نَفْسِي عَتَانِ اثْنَتَانِ. This is the second one. He said, ثُمَّ جِئْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. What is remaining? Al-Khatam. He said, ثُمَّ جِئْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِبَكِيِّ الْغَرْقَدِ. Then I came to meet the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is telling us, brothers, don't like to get everything one day. He was doing it one after the other. One after the other. But many times, somebody wants to become one learned person. One, it's not possible. It's not possible. One day, overnight, no. مَا هَكَذَا تُرَدُ يَا صَحِبَ الْإِبْلِ. That's not how the camel is reading, as one of my brothers always like to say. So, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had followed a janaza or a jinaza to the Baqi'. Baqi' is very close to his masjid, just about maximum of 200 meters. If you stand by the door of the Prophet's masjid alayhi salatu wasalam, you'll be looking at Baqi'. There is nothing in between the two, between the masjid and Baqi', except the walls. Straight, you'll be looking at Baqi'. Less than 100 meters. He says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Baqi', wa huwa jalisun. He was sitting up, fasallamtu alayhi. So I made taslim to him. Summa istadartu. Then I turned. Anzur ila zahrihi. I was looking at his back. Hal ara al khatim alladhi wasafa liya sahibi. I was watching whether I was going to see that khatam that my companion, that is my Christian teacher, had told me to look for. فَلَمَّا رَعَانِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ اسْتَدَرْتُ. When the Prophet saw عليه الصلاة والسلام that I had torn, عَرَفَ عَنِّي أَسْتَثْبِتُ فِي شَيْءٍ وُصِفَ لِيَ. He knew that I seek to affirm something that had been described to me. فَأَلْقَى رِدَاءَهُ. So the Prophet loosened his clothes عليه الصلاة والسلام. عَنْ ظَهْرِهِ فَنَظَرْتُ إِلَى الْخَاتِمِ. He loosened his clothes from his back and I looked at the khatam. فَعَرَفْتُهُ. So I saw him. فَأَكْبَرْتُ عَلَيْهِ أُقَبِّلْهُ وَأَبْكِي. So I fell onto the Prophet. I was kissing him and I was crying. فَقَالَ لِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. So the Prophet said, تَحَوَّلْ. Come. فَتَحَوَّلْتُ. So I turned to his face. فَجَلَسْتُ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ. So I sat before him. فَقَصَصْتُ عَلَيْهِ حَدِيثِي. So I narrated to him my journey. كَمَا حَدَّثْتُكَ يَا ابْنُ عَبَّاسٍ. The way I have narrated to you, O Ibn Abbas. فَعَجَبَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنْ يَسْمَعَ ذَلِكَ أَصْحَابُهُ. So the Prophet was glad that his companions were listening to what I was saying. This is the beginning of this hadith that we are going to read now. So he said, جَاءَ سَلْمَانُ الْفَارِسِ إِلَى رَسُولِ. So Salman came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. حِينَ قَدِمَ الْمَدِينَةِ. When Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam came to Medina, we know now what it means. Medina here could mean Quba, because all of this started from where he was, where? At Quba. I'm sure you get the story now, inshallah. He said, بِمَائِدَةٍ عَلَيْهَا رُطَبٌ. He came with a table of what? Fresh dates. فَوَضَعَهَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَقَالَ. He said, presented it before the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and said, يَا سَلْمَان. The Prophet asked him, O Salman, مَا هَذَا, what is this? فَقَالَ صَدَقَةٌ عَلَيْكَ وَعَلَى أَصْحَابِكَ. He said, oh, it is sadaqa for you and for your companion. فَقَالَ إِرْفَعَهَا فَإِنَّا لَا نَأْكُلُ صَدَقَةً. We are not eating sadaqa. What which will mean here is, take it away from me if we harmonize with the first hadith. إِرْفَعَهَا يعني إِرْفَعَهَا أَنِّي أَنْ. That is, take it away from me. But the companions, we are not prevented from eating it. I'm sure we would have gotten this clear, inshallah. He said, قَالَ فَرَفَعَهَا. Then Salman took it away. فَجَاءَ الْغَدَّ بِمِثْلِهِ. Then he came the other day. Al-Gad does not necessarily mean tomorrow. He came on another day. Except if it were that the first day he met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Quba was a day before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left for Medina. But we know that the second incident happened at where? In Medina. Do you understand? He says, فَوَضَعَهُ بَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Then he presented it to the Prophet again. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَقَالَ مَا هَذَا يَا سَلْمَان. They asked him, what is this, O Salman? فَقَالَ هَدِيَّةٌ لَكَ. It's a gift for you. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لِأَصْحَابِهِ أُبْسُطُهُ. Then the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, to his companions, stretch, that is, stretch your hands to collect, so people were collecting. The fifth Prophet took, and he took too. Alayhi salatu wasalam. One of the scholars had mentioned that. Why was it that the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, was prohibited from taking sadaqah, charity, but he was permitted to take hadiyah, gift? They said because hadiyah is given to a person min al-hubb wal-ikram, from love and honor for that person. Lakin sadaqah is given to a person from awsakh, this hadith, min awsakh al-nas, from the dirty things people remove from themselves, from which they seek reward. So Allah prevented that from the Prophet. Not only him, the members of Ahlul Bayt, they are also prevented from taking things like that. So the Prophet prevented, the Prophet was prevented from that. Because sadaqah is from, the man is seeking Allah's forgiveness, reward from it. But hadiyah is because he loves you, he wants to draw you nearer. And that's why when he was saying, Ala adullukum ala shay'in iza fa'altumuhu tahabbabtum. What did he say? Afshu salama, there's riwayah of tahadaw. He said, give taslim. There's a riwayah that also give gifts amongst yourself. When you give gifts, you love yourself the more. Check Adab al-Mufrad of Al-Imam al-Bukhari. So a gift, when you give something to somebody that's around you that you like, give him gifts. Don't tell him you are giving him sadaqah. It's more honorable, even if that person is in the position of taking sadaqah from you. But make him understand, or you give him with the intention of giving him sadaqah, it shows greater honor for him than giving the man sadaqah. Faqala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ashabi, ibsutu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told his father, take, people took. Summa nazara ila al-khatam. This summa, it is tartib and what? Tarakhi. Yes, it happened after the second incident, but not immediately. Later. And then later. This later, you knew where this one took place. Where? At Baqi. When they were going for what? A janaza. Or they were the janaza. And then the Prophet was seated. So it's not summa. Then later, as you get in, you don't eat this one. Oh yeah, stand up, make I see the la. That was not how it happened. So later, he met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Summa nazara ila al-khatami ala azari rasulillahi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he saw the khatam behind the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Fa amana bihi. He believed in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani fa saddaqa bihi. He now affirmed what he had seen. Saddaqahu. He made tafdiq with what he had seen. Of course, he had believed in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because in the first riwayah, we see that he made taslim to the Prophet Muhammad. And if he had not believed in him, he was searching for him all around. So from the time he knew that, yes, this is the city and this is the Prophet, he knew already. So these kinds of statements of Fa'amana Bihi is considered as, he made affirmation of what he had been looking for, or his iman increased as a result. Fazadat hum iman. This is the way to look at things, a statement like this, based on what we had described earlier regarding Salman al-Farsi. Radiyallahu anhu. وَكَانَ لِلْيَهُودِ. But at that time he was still a slave to a Jew. فَاشْتَرَاهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ. So the Prophet bought him, purchased Salman al-Farisi بِكَذَا وَكَذَا dirhaman, with so and so dirham. عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَغْرِسَ نَخْلًا, on the condition that Salman al-Farisi, it was not the Prophet that gave him the condition. From the conditions the Jew gave was that you pay so-so amount and you do so-so work. You pay so-so amount and you do so-so work. So Allah an yagrisa nakhlan, that he will plant date palm trees. Faya'malu Salman fihi hatta tut'ima. Salman will be taking care of those date palms until they, you know, bring about fruits. They are sufficient to be harvested. He said, Fagarasa Rasulullahi sallallahu, the Prophet himself, alayhi salam, garasahu al-nakhila. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam now himself planted those trees with Salman. But he did it himself. Yes, Salman, where do you want to plant? The Prophet himself was planting it, helping Salman, who was a slave at the time, Rasulul Rabbil Alameen. He was helping Salman, who was a slave to the Jew, planting it for the Jew. No, for the Jews, they will be happy at things like that. Yes, he bring the man to work in my farm. Because they are people of arrogance. It says, فَقَرَسَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ. This is also evidence that a learned person should always be ready to help his students when they are in need of his assistance. Should not leave them and say, hey, go plant them by yourself. Say, Abu Nami, Nami send you, come here. No. He should be ready to help them resolve the matters that they have, the issues that they have, when they have them. So the Prophet said, Salman al-Faris, radiyallahu anhu, illa nakhlatan wahidatan garasaha Umar. It was to plant 100. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam planted 99. And Umar radiyallahu anhu planted only one. فَحَمَلَتْ النَّخْلُ مِنْ عَمِهَا. That same year, all the dabinu, all the date palms, all of them, they became ready to be harvested. That same year. وَلَمْ يَحْمِلْ النَّخْلَةُ. But that one, that Umar radiallahu anhu, nothing came out from it. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. So the messenger said, مَا شَأْنُ هَذِهِ النَّخْلَةُ. Why this one? Why did it not grow? Fakala Umar, Umar said, Rabiallah, Ya Rasulallah, Ana garastuha. Ana lazi garastuha. He is the one who planted it. Fanaza'aha Rasul. He didn't say Umar, Aya, inzi'aha. Naza'aha Rasulullah. The Prophet himself went and uprooted it. Fagarasaha. And replanted another one. Fahamalat min amiha. That same year it brought out fruits and was ready. So that was how Salman al-Farsi became freed. He lived in Islam as a Muslim, initially with Abu Darda. He was very close, he lived with Abu Darda. Even after Abu Darda had left for Sham, he went to Sham to look for Abu Darda. He was moving all around, he was the twin brother. He is the companion, if you remember the hadith, that he came back from the masjid to the house and found that the wife of Abu Darda was not dressing. If you ask how, why, how did he see that his wife was not dressing? It was not the time of hijab, so don't bother. Yeah, why are you not dressing for me? My husband doesn't have time. All he's doing is ibadah, worship, in the morning, afternoon, night. He went and reported him to the Prophet. So when the Prophet told him that, إِنَّ لِجَسَدِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقُّ وَلِي أَهْلِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقُّ and all of that. It was Salman al-Farisi that brought him. He has many other ahadith in the books of hadith. رضي الله. So he lived as a Muslim. But look at his journey. His father is a fire worshipper, don't forget. So that your father is a scholar does not mean that you are anything. That your father is, my father is Sheikh Fulan. It doesn't make you anything until you are Fulan yourself. Your father is Fulan does not make you anything until you are Fulan yourself. And Imam Abu Dawud al-Sijistani, Sahib al-Sunnah, his son is Kazab, a liar, fabricator from the fabricators of hadith. He used to tell, La ta'khudhu an ibni, inna ibni kazzabun. Don't take hadith from my son, it's a kazzab. And Ali ibn al-Madini radiyallahu anhu, rahimahullah, Ali ibn Abdullah ibn al-Madini. Abdullah ibn al-Madini, the father of Ali ibn al-Madini, the person with whom Imam Bukhari, when he sees him, he respects him greatly. Ali ibn al-Madini. He says, Must have got to nafsi illa inda Ali ibn Abi Talib, al-Madini. I never bring myself low, except when I'm sitting in front of Ali ibn al-Madini. He was asked about his father. He didn't used to answer. Someone said, who were Din? Who were Daif? But what about his imam, his son? He was imam. The son was imam. The father is Daif in his own case. In the case of Abu Dawud, the son is Daif, Kazab. The father is what? Ma Araftu. It's what you know. So that your father is something does not make you something. And that you are not, and that you are not something does not mean your father cannot be something, or that your father is something does not mean you will be something, or vice versa. Each person should assume to be, or should make efforts to be. What did he say, alayhi salatu wasalam? He says, man batta'a bihi amaluhu lam yakun liyasra'a bihi nasabuhu. Imam Muslim reported the hadith. Man batta'a bihi batta'a, slowed down. Whoever is slowed down by his deeds, لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيَسْرَعْ بِهِ عَمَلُهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيَسْرَعْ بِهِ نَسَبُهُ. His lineage, my father, it does not make him. The matter is who you are. Don't forget, let's come back to this hadith. The essence of this hadith is what? خَاتَمُ. The next hadith, hadith 19, quickly. سَأَلْتُ أَبَا سَعِيدٍ الْخُدْرِ عَنْ خَاتَمِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. يَعْنِي خَاتَمَ النُّبُوَّةِ. I asked Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. Abu Nadra, a companion, a Tabi'i, said he asked Abu Sa'id al-Khudri about the Khatam, the seal of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Faqala, and he said, كَانَ فِي ظَهْرِهِ بَدْعَةً يَفْهَمُكَ اللَّهُ كَانَ فِي ظَهْرِهِ بَدْعَةً نَاشِذَةً that Khatam was behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bab'atan nashizatan, a muscle of flesh, like guddatun hamra, a muscle of flesh, nashizatan, that's put. Bab'a, a muscle of flesh, that is what? That is protruding. So that was the description. You know, it follows the description of Jabir ibn Samra at the beginning of the bab that we read. The last hadith in this bab. An Abdullah ibn Sarjis. Qala. Abdullah ibn Sarjis is an eminent companion. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, we know him. He does not need introduction. If we have time some other time, if we come across this hadith, inshallah, we'll talk about him a little bit. But the next hadith is hadith of Abdullah ibn Sarjis. Qala. Ataytu Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. I came to meet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa huwa fi nasin min ashabihi. I was with some of his companions. Fadurtu hakaza min khalfihi. So I turned like this, going to his back. Fa'arafa alladhi urid. So he knew what I wanted. Fa'alqa rida an zahrihi. So he loosened his clothes from his back. Fara'aytu mawdi al-khatam. So I saw the place of the khatam. Ala katfayhi. In between his two shoulders. Misla al-jum'a. It was looking like jum'a. The jum'a is when you fold your palm. This is the jum'a. Like a fist. That is a fist. Something protruding from his back. Like a fist. Hawlaha. Around it is what? Khilan. Black spots. You remember it was a result of a surgery. At the beginning we explained that the khatam itself came in place on the day that his heart was made open. So definitely it's likely that there are black spots around. So he said, حَوْلَهَا خِلَانَ. There are black spots, you know, around. كَأَنَّهَا سَعَالِيلِ. As if it is a sa'alil. Sa'alil is a kind of an illness, is a viral illness, a viral infection. When people have it, it comes together and protrudes away from the skin. Like an egg, it produces away. It has a botanical name, very lengthy, I couldn't memorize it, I left. But it's an illness. It circulates, it's roundish, and the skin, you know, protrudes. So he said, so the skin is protruding. Don't forget, the skin is a muscle of flesh. The khatam is a muscle of flesh, that is what? Nashizatun. It's what? Bad'atun. Nashizat. So that's what it's saying. Ka'annaha sa'ali. Like that illness. It says, فَرَجَعْتُ حَتَّى اسْتَقْبَلْتُهُ. So I returned. I went to his back. He said, دُرْتُ كُو. Then he says, رَجَعْتُ. So I returned. حَتَّى اسْتَقْبَلْتُهُ. Until I came in his face. I turned and faced him. فَقُلْتُ. So I said, غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. May Allah forgive you. Out of excitement, ecstasy. Oh, may Allah forgive you, Messenger of Allah. فَقَالَ وَلَكَ. Said, and you too. This is evidence that if somebody makes dua for you, you can say, and you too. Ulama pick it from. Somebody has asked me before, if somebody says, Jazakallah khairan, what is the evidence for saying, wa iyakum? This is the evidence. Because somebody who says to you, Jazakallah khairan, he has made dua for you. So somebody who says, Ghafarallahu laka, he has made dua for you. So the Prophet said to him, wa laka. So that's why the scholars of hadith say, wa iyakum. People like Sheikh Albani, if you listen to the audios, they say it a lot, wa iyak, wa iyak. Don't worry. Ah, where's the hadith? Tell us the hadith, hadith, hadith. Where is the hadith? This is the hadith. That's evidencing what they do. Right, Muhammad. فَقَالَ الْقَوْمُ. So those people who are listening to Abdullah ibn Sturgis, they said to him, إِسْتَغْفَرَ لَكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Ha! The Prophet said, make Allah forgive you. So the Prophet asked Allah's forgiveness for you. Ha! Like saying, the way we will say here, your own done better. So the Prophet asked Allah to forgive you. Faqala na'am. Yes. He asked Allah to forgive me. Wa lakum. And you too. Thumma tala hadhihi al-aya. The evidence for the fact that the Prophet had also sought forgiveness for them too. Yes, his own was specific, but their own was general. And that one that they had, Ibn Sarjis also had it too. Because what made them qualify to have that one also qualifies Ibn Sarjis. But to pacify them. That's why if a good thing happens to you and people come to share your joy with you, try to make them get something too, no matter how small. When I got to the north here, was when I knew that if you share money and people are looking at you, you must give them something from there. I think it's the culture from the brothers in the north, Abi, that if you are sharing money, no matter how small, say ni man agree shifa, they go gashi. So they are saying, "Are you alone? You only you promise forgiveness. Okay, you too, he sought forgiveness for you to make give evidence." Radiallahu from his fake. So he said, "Allah had ordered the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that was stuck for lizambika walil mu'minina wal mu'minat. Seek for forgiveness for your sins, O Messenger. Seek for that of the believers, male and female." And you know the Prophet cannot be alayhi salatu wasalam ordered by Allah to do a thing and he does not do it. So it's that yes, the Prophet would have done so. So you too, you have that forgiveness. But that one is also covering Abdullah ibn Sarjis. It's not like the one he told him, "Ghafarallahu laka," like this. That one, "Ghafarallahu laka." Radiallahu anhu. So this is the last hadith in this bab, alhamdulillah, that we have read, describing the khatam of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet had a khatam, and what we have heard so far is how the khatam looks. I beg Allah to make us understand better than we have explained. Today we spent a lot of time trying to explain. I think it was just important that we knew what happened to Salman al-Farisi. In this book, they drew a diagram of the journey of Salman al-Farisi. This is Isfahan in Iran. I'll pass it around. This is Isfahan. His first trip took him to Sham. And from Sham, he moved to Mosul in Iraq. From Mosul in Iraq, he moved to Amuriya in Turkey. And from Amuriya, you can see the long journey to Medina. Radiallahu anhu. Just look at it. This book is a PhD thesis. It was published by Ad-Darul Asariya in Urdu, in Jeddah. At-Tahsil wal-Bayan, fi siyaki kisrati Sayyid Salman. Let them look at it too. Alaykum as-salam. You don't want to be like Ibn Sarjis. Alaykum as-salam. Iwa. Because Arabs don't call B. That's why. Else, the name of the city is Isfahan. The reason why they call it Isfahan in the first, it's not Isfahan. In Arabic, it's Isfahan, you write. But the name is, when you finish, they are looking at his his rihla. So the real name in Arabic is Isfahan. But you know, the word is not basically an Arabic word. So the Arab will call it by the thing that is closest to them. So instead of writing S, they write B. Ba'un. If not, if else it is Isfahan. In fact, they said that it's, that word Isfahan came from two words, Nisfail Jihan, that is half of the world, because the people in Persia think that the whole world is two, Persia and the rest of the world. So they named the head of the city at the time as Nisfu Al Jihan. So it is from there they picked the word Isfahan. So if you call Isfahan, you are being original. If you call Isfahan, you are being Arabic. Wa alaikum assalam. He's from the Guraba, like Abu Huraira. And they were many. In fact, they could be more than the Ansar al-Muhajirin, except the Ansar al-Muhajirin were having children, so they too became many later. He's from the Guraba. Those people who were not from Makkah or Medina, they came to Makkah. But he didn't see make hijrah. In fact, his own hijrah was longer than the hijrah of any person amongst them. From all of the journey, radiyallahu anhu. Alaykum salam. Here you are. Salman al-Farisi, some scholars say he was 350 years old, some say he was 250, some say he was 150, and all of that. But al-Imam al-Zahabi rahimahullah in Siyar al-Amun-Nubala, he said, وَقَدْ نَقَلَ طُولَ أُمْرِهِ. Some of the scholars that he will mention now had cited the length of his age. Abu al-Faraj ibn Jawzi, al-Imam Abu al-Faraj, al-Imam ibn Jawzi, wa ghayruhu, and others amongst the scholars. He said, wa ma alimtu fi dhalika shay'an yurkanu ilayh. He says, ma alimtu fi dhalika shay'an yurkanu ilayh. I don't know anything that can be depended upon regarding what they have said. He says, fala'allahu aasha bid'an wa sab'ina sana. Perhaps he lived for about some 70 years. Wama arahu balaga al-mi'ah. I don't think he was up to 100 years old. فَمَنْ كَانَ إِنْدَهُ عِلْمٌ فَلْيُفِدْنَا. Any person who has a knowledge, knowledge means evidence, tell us, yufidna, make us benefit from what you have. So that was the conclusion of Al-Imam al-Zahabi. But it was more to decide that he was not more than 100 years. Perhaps he left his city, as he said in some of his reports, he left Asbahan when he was around 20 something years old. Then maybe he got to meet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he was around 50, because he died in the Khilafah of Uthman bin Affan. So maybe he met the Prophet around 55 or 56, because Uthman bin Affan, the first 2 years of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, then about 13 years of Umar, and about first 8 years of Uthman. That's how many years? About 23 years. So remove 23 from, he would be about 50 something years old when he met the Prophet. But Imam Muzadi was saying that he should be younger than even, he said, because he partook in some things that were things of strength. He did things of strength that showed that he was still strong. If he was 50 years old, he can't be climbing a tree at 50. He can't be climbing a tree at 50. So that's why Imam Muzadi is of the faith, that he was far younger. Rahimahullah. So it's not only 350 or something. He said no evidence to rely on, so say 350 or something. The oldest companion is Nabi Isa alayhi salam. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
From the blessings of when you were talking about Imam Khalid giving Sadaqah
and Deeds to the
Prophet, you mentioned and recognize that it's not good that somebody wants to enter to become a scholar of the night. Now,
it's not even possible.
Maybe your knowledge is too small to compared to your age and what you said you're learning, like you are learning Arabic, you are learning the Quran Hadith, you are learning Tajwid, you are learning Quran, you are learning Hadith. All together, you are going from one to another. Is this one what you are trying to say?
That's not what I'm trying to say. What it means is that العلم بتعلمه والحلم بتحلمه. Knowledge is acquired by gradually acquiring it. This is a hadith of the Messenger. The most authentic thing about this hadith is that it is Hassan. Learning is one, then another. One, then another. The Quran itself didn't come to the Prophet one day. He said, والقرآن فرقناه لتقرأه على الناس على مكسن. Over time. So, ونزلناه تنزيلا. We revealed it to you. Beats. The scholars, I think Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal is in Ilal al-Tirmidhi, Sharf Ilal al-Tirmidhi, was saying that the one who takes knowledge one day, Fuj'atan, Nasiyahu. Yes. The one who takes knowledge, today is scholar. He soon forgets it. That's among the scholars of Hadith. The year of the Hadith is 40. When you reach 40, start reading Hadith. Teaching. Before 40 you are learning from Baghdad to. But some of them started earlier, because if you mention something as the general thing, you find people whose cases will be exceptions. This one is too learned to wait until 40, like Al-Imam al-Nawawi. He died at 45, but look at his works. Is it Al-Majmu'? Al-Majmu' in Sharh Muhazzab, he told his student Ibn Attar, say, look, this book I'm writing, these are my reference materials. When I die, if I die and I'm not able to complete, please help me complete it. Ibn Attar could not complete it. Say, it's more than just references. Say, you saw the references. It's more than just seeing references. It's more than that. Brother, I tell you, that is how it is. Sometimes somebody read some things to write something. If you read the same thing, if you write something, you'll be zero. The same thing he has written because of some of the things he has had. Some immunization, some some things that are in him already that he has had from what Allah gave him. If you do the same thing, you fail. So we'll say that is a general case, but there could be exceptions. Like people younger than 40, but they started reading hadith to the people. This is the problem with our generation. Our generation is a problematic generation. It's a generation where ignorance is celebrated as knowledge. It's a generation where ignorance, it is ignorance in display, but we celebrate it as knowledge. In those days, even somebody came to Ma'mun, the one who became leader at the time when Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal was freed. And he was arguing with Ma'mun that, let me bring another example. This case, the one I was mentioning, is mentioned by Dr. Khalid al-Ambari in his book, Al-Siyasat al-Shar'iyya. He also mentioned it in his book, Al-Hukmu Bighayri Ma Anzala Allah. That one didn't come to mind. During the time of Imam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, there was an argument between the Mu'tazila and Imam Ibn Taymiyyah. Those who are saying Allah is not anywhere. Allah is not Fawq, is not Ta'at, is not Yemi, is not Shima, is not anywhere. So where is he? So the Amir brought them, everybody come and be saying your own. He was listening to them. These people say, Allah is not anywhere, Allah is not anything, Allah is not anything. They asked Imam Ahmad ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, where is Allah? He says, Ar-Rahman ala al-Arsh istawa. One word. But the other people say, Allah is not up, it's not down, it's not left, it's not. You know what the Amir that time said? He says, Ha'ulai adau rabbahum. These people, they have lost their Lord. Their own Lord is lost. This one knows the Lord that he's worshiping. I tell you, if you bring those people we know as the leaders of Muslims today, they can't answer this question. They will tell you that Allah is not up, it's not down, it's not left, it's not center. I tell you, most of the people you see as the leaders of Muslims today, if you ask them, where is Allah? They may tell you that's a useless question. The question that Prophet asks is useless. The hadith is in Sahih Muslim. Muawiyah ibn Hakam. The Prophet was asking, alayhi salatu wasalam, somebody brought his slave. So, this is my slave. She's following Ghanam. What's it called? She's rearing goats. She was brought by her master. The Prophet asked her, Ayn Allah, this is Sama. Waman anat anta Muhammad Rasulullah. Say, take her. Fa innaha mu'mina. Set her free. She's a mu'mina. So for somebody to ask somebody a question, where is Allah? It's not wrong. If you say it's wrong, we'll give you this hadith. Then you tell me whether the Prophet was wrong to have asked her, where is Allah? Ask the average Muslim on the street. Even those people see as malam. Ask them, where is Allah? Where is Allah? Don't ask me that question. The Sufis confuse the matter more. They say, Allah is not everywhere. It's not up. It's not down. It's not left. Even Adamu was saying it. Adamu, the personal secretary to Bukhari when he was PTF, he was saying it, that Allah is not anywhere. Because he accused Ibn Taymiyyah of anthropomorphism. Anthropomorphism is a word that is used by the Orientalists to abuse the Muslims who say that Allah is focused on. So he said Ibn Taymiyyah is anthropomorphist. It means he does not believe what Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah believes on that issue. Many people like that, and they say, oh, they are knowledgeable people. Elite my yash. So if you say Allah is everywhere, I used to ask people, what about in the cess pit? Allah is there. You know the cess pit? In the sheet. Is Allah in the sheet? If you say Allah is everywhere, if something comes out from her, is Allah inside there too? If you are not shameful, say that Allah is there now. So whatever does not make him there sensibly, because what sensible answer you will give for his not being there is that Allah cannot be inside what he has created. Allah is not inside what he has created. Before he was, because he was before creation. He is not inside creation. He is outside creation. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is not inside creation. And all creation depends on him. He created creation and he was before creation. So he's not inside creation. He is outside creation. And it's not dependent on creation. And all creation depends on him. And he sees and hears all creation. He's closer to creation than what they think of. These things, a Muslim must know them and believe them. If he does not believe them, Shaitan is playing with his heart, with his mind, and with his iman. Because these are the basis of La ilaha illallah. La ma'budu bi haqqin illallah. We'll stop here, inshallah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك